of knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is The Whopping, episode 600. Jason Lindgren is with me, and we have back Fortune de Saint-Germain. This should be a fantastic episode. Part of what we're going to cover are things that people have requested in the past. Basically, our notes for hour one go like this. Lemuria, Atlantis, and the ancient world to the modern world. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a cooler but lovely good day.
And Fortune, how are you?
Ah, old crow. This is old owl to young crow, rockin' Jason and ramblin' Rose. And I am having a fantastic day because I'm here again with my favorite people in the world, the listeners. And how kind of you to visit me in my classroom at Morris High School from the Golden Castle at the end of the world where the rainbow begins, my friends. This program is brought to you in Buddha Vision.
All right. Well, we have quite a lineup for hour one alone. Basically, I'm just going to throw the ball in your court and let you take it away.
My friends, the universe was created with one loving whisper and an eternal promise. There was no Big Bang. There never was an original beginning, and there never will be a final end. There are an infinity of universes by creator gods. And this is given to us in the first line of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. It's not in the beginning. That's the biggest mistranslation in all of history. The original Hebrew is in a beginning / any beginning. So there is the light. And this tells us that creation, the universes, the cosmos are infinite. And don't forget to remember, my friends, so are you. So there is a supreme God, but as we've said before, there is no supreme consciousness. And we must remember, as we talk about this right now, since we are all in third dimension consciousness, whether we like it or not, and our mission is, I can't tell you have to like it because you don't, but our mission is to learn lessons here in duality consciousness, which is third dimension. And as Edgar Cayce said, one third of the third dimension was created by lesser gods, by physical gods in this dimension and a dimension or two higher. So now we begin. And there were also the spiritual tuners in the higher dimensions, 8, 9, 10. People that you all know and have read about, beings like Maitreya, Vishnu, Shiva, and a whole host of other names that we will never know that are in the higher dimensions, helping the creator God of this universe keep everything attuned and helping the lower to achieve the higher. So as I have said before, many of the things that we are going to mention today may be riddles, koans, and they're not understandable from this dimension. In the higher dimensions, they will be more understandable to us. And there are many dimensions that we cannot even fathom. So if it seems like I'm speaking in the koan or the riddle, that is true. Let us proceed, my friends.
All right. So we're going to jump in with the Lemuria up through Atlantis initially. So can you give us like an idea of time frame? I think most people have an idea of some sort about Atlantis, but I think that's less so for Lemuria.
There have been other renters in this apartment or flat, and we are not the first ones. There were many before. We are later creations in the universe. We have a total range of individuality and emotion. Very, very few other races have that. Many have no individuality and no emotion, and they live on gray worlds, and as a result, their worlds are dying. So we are an experimental planet. They need our DNA, and we're a hodgepodge. We're a fast classroom. We're also an enclosed planet, little plane or structure for many, many reasons. And I do not think of this as a prison planet because it really isn't. There are different souls from all different places here for so many different reasons. And we're all here to learn oneness, cooperation, balance in duality, which brings us to the creation of the first beings that came into the first spirits that came into consciousness in Lemuria. And they lasted for a very, very long time. And Lemuria, like Atlantis, they both had no systems of money. So the Lemurians predate Atlantis. The very end of Lemuria may touch Atlantis. And they had been sunk by some series of catastrophes on Lemuria, Gondwanaland, I think Og. There were different parts of it. They had the third eye in physicality. They actually had, you could see the physical third eye. They were smaller, and they were very spiritual people as they became more dense and became more used to physicality. And when the last catastrophes had happened, a remnant of that are the heads on Easter Island. Some went to the west and others went to the east. The Polynesians, Hawaiians, the Mayans, the early Japanese, and that may not be the Japanese of today. It may be the indigenous people that were there, the Ainus and others before the Asian Japanese got there. So they had some remnants and wanted to preserve memory. So what you're seeing is memory of their civilization. They did not have technology, and they were very, very peaceful people. So when they, Mayans, and their buildings are representatives, and they were also stargazers, and they were great intuitives. And it went on for a long, long time. So these things went on for hundreds of thousands of years. Do not kid yourself. The Mayans were so spiritual that at one point, why they don't exist anymore, is because they walked through the door into a higher dimension together as a people. And after the end of Lemuria, next question, my friends, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, well, I want to address the catastrophe for Lemuria. I think it's pretty well accepted that Atlantis was self-inflicted, but going back to Lemuria, is there a sense that these are cyclical catastrophes? Were they self-made catastrophes, or were they just, I don't know, freak weather, something like that?
Well, there were various things for various reasons. The Lemurians, what they were experiencing, because they had been around for so long, was they were experiencing various earth changes that, in their case, were natural. There may have been some sort of interference from outer planetary, and I'm not so sure about that because I have not gone into that in meditation. But they went to different parts, to the east and the west, and they were very, very peaceful people. And then, you know, we come towards now to our friends in Atlantis that also existed for a long time, but they invented technology, and they were very good at that. So before Atlantis, or in the early days of Atlantis, if you didn't like somebody, you just thought about it and meditated on it and killed them. Then as they became denser in physicality, the weapons were invented, and we speak. Now, please do not fool yourself, because the Atlanteans existed for a very, very long time. They were a very, very high culture with great technology. They were in contact with other races beyond this world, and they became warlike. They also invented chimeras. One of the problems was they started tampering with things they should not have been playing with. So once people start thinking of themselves as gods, that's when we start running into problems. They were a clan-like culture. There were various clans in various places. They had no money, and the chimeras that they invented, when you see the minotaurs or the unicorns, those are the remnants. One of the remnants were the workers that they invented as Bigfoot, and those still exist today, because when Atlantis tanked through their own hand, the Bigfoot were left on their own to fare for themselves.
They were slaves?
They were half man, half animal. They were strong. They were slaves. The Atlanteans knew how to control them, and they're very strong, and they're hostile to humans.
How come they're so good at not being photographed?
Well, go on the net. You have people that actually did photograph them where they are going after people's cattle on various lands. And you see them on the photographs. You see them on the, help me out, webcam, on the surveillance cams.
Yeah, they call them wildlife or wilderness cams. And there have been a lot of astonishing captures lately. I used to be very agnostic about this. And I used to say, based on my private law of high definition, but the footage is out there, but not much. Comparatively speaking, you would think in this world there would be more images, which kind of implies if there are Bigfoots and they're not getting imaged very much, they must have an intelligence or something to be able to be avoiding all that.
Well, that's fine. And there are some other chimeras that have existed and still exist in out-of-the-way places. But let's go to the things that we need to focus on. They had different DNA than we did. They were longer lived. They were taller and darker, like the American Indians, some of whom, like the Iroquois, are descendants. Edgar Cayce, in his channeling, said that the Iroquois language is a descendant of the closest thing to the Atlantean language. And they were a laid-back lifestyle, fishing and agriculture, and they did not have a concept of money. So they had gone along the temple beautiful where you could go in and be healed. They had something like Elysium where you walked into the temple and they had the vibrations which would heal you. And then there were some people that had lived for thousands upon thousands of years just by taking in the breath and prana, where they, some of the high priests that before they had forgotten those methods and had gone over to technology. What had happened to Atlantis was technology became too strong, and there was a war between the children of the Law of One and the demon Belial. In this case, Evil One, and many people who did not agree with that left the Atlantean continent, which had three different evolutions and sinkings, so Poseidon was the last one left. And the people, the children of the Law of One, who wanted to obey the divine construction, they went to different places and built pyramids and temples so that there would be some records of the Atlantean culture. The pyramid at Giza, the Sphinx, there is some place in the high Andes, and I think another one of those records might be underwater somewhere in near the Bimini area. But they forgot that they were not gods, and they were playing with things they should not have been playing with, like CERN. And at the moment, they were warned not to use the two-eye stone. And when they pulled the lever, instead of concentrating in one direction, the two-eye stone went in every direction and evaporated them instantly and caused the great flood. It cracked the firmament. And to this day, what you know as the Bermuda Triangle is a rip in time and space. And the anomalies that occur there are still to this day have not been healed because of what they had done. What you are most familiar with will be the reign of the gods, Tehote, the wisdom keeper, the pyramids, and the loss of technology. So when they came to Egypt, the Egyptians thought they were gods, and they brought with them many of their chimeras. So now we start coming into our modern era, the post-Diluvian era. My friends, have you any comments and questions?
Well, we just passed 15 minutes, Fortune. Jason, do you want to get anything in here?
During the time of Lemuria and Atlantis, did the Earth look the same or close enough as it does today? Or were the continents in different places?
They were a little different. You would recognize some of them and others you would not. Lemuria was, of course, in the Pacific, and Atlantis was between the continents of what you know, the Atlantic, in the Atlantic between North America and the European continents. At one time, there was no water in the Mediterranean. The last time it rained in the Sahara was something around 13,000 years ago. So there would be things you would recognize and things you would not recognize. But if you had some sort of knowledge of both times, you might recognize many of the things that were happening and the different changes. Now, let's just come to our world in ancient times. First thing we have to understand is that the governments in our times from Babylon on are the biggest murderers. Government is the cause of most troubles and the biggest murderer in history. We also must talk about deals. They're not necessarily conspiracies. Sometimes they are backroom deals so that no one knows. But we've spoken about this before. They are deals that are made in their benefit. And many times they just don't want the general people to know about it. But there have always been powers behind the throne, no matter who the king was or the ruler was. You had to contend with generals, a priestly class, an aristocracy, and the money people. The world's first metropolis and banking haven after the flood is Babylon. Then it became Athens, then Rome, then Venice, Spain, Holland, London, New York City. So we go to Egypt and the pharaohs. The Hyksos people were the Jews. Josephus Flavius says that, and other historians say that. We come to the Christed teachers, Buddha, Zoroaster, Pythagoras, Jesus, and we have a different changing world. As the world is changing, there are many Christ masters that come down to give us messages, to teach us what we are here for, and to not forget our mission and our purpose. Do not be beguiled by the shine of gold. Jesus had a wife and children. The bloodline still exists today. Most do not know, but some do know that they are descendants. The money changes in the temple. When Jesus had contested them and chastised them, he was dead 3 days later. The democracy of Athens, 200 years democracy in Rome before the empire, and 200 years for our democracy. Socrates versus Pericles. Socrates indicted the people and Pericles pushed them gently from behind. All empires fall. They all have their heyday. The great Scottish professor Alexander Tytler said, "A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government, existing until the majority discovers it can vote itself generous gifts from the treasury, collapsing over base fiscal policy and saddling debt to be replaced by a dictator." And we see this all the time. So the Roman Republic gives birth to the empire that lasted 200 years. Caesar's death. Caesar is murdered by the elite of Rome because he was doing what was good for the people of Rome, the plebs, and not for what the banking interests were. So, as usual, he was murdered. And Brutus, his best friend who had taken place in it, was the richest man in the empire at that time. Slavery and plunder were how Rome made a living. Had they had a capitalistic society, a free trade, an actual trade, and a real economy, they might have survived much longer. We go to Sir John Bagot Glubb, who wrote about the death of empires. Here are our cycles, my friends. Bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times, which create weak men, which create bad times. We are now at the Roman Catholic Church. It is the Roman Catholic Church because they co-opt Christianity for their own principles. Now, for the Christians out there, do not let anyone deter you. Christianity is great and the message is great because the teacher was great. But we all have to delve into our sources, whether we're Jewish, Quranic, Buddhist, Christian, to find out what the actual reality was, what the actual message was. So in Christianity, we all have to be apostles, all of those who are Christians. An apostle of Christ is minimalism. Be willing to die as a martyr in Christ and to love your brother as much or even more than you love yourself. There is no greater Christian blessing than I lay my life down for God and brother. There is no greater blessing than this. Now, as we go in, the fall of Rome, we go to the Renaissance, banking continues, but we come to something very special now, and I want everyone to listen to this. From the Renaissance, when they try to go back to what Rome was, the greatness of Rome, we go to 600 years of ascent, 300 years of the Renaissance, 1300 to 1600. Every European country experiences an age of a golden age. We come to the Enlightenment, the 1700s, the birth of the middle class, industry, exploration, trade, education. So the great age of reason, the Enlightenment, is what created our world, what most of you listening to this in the English world know as the American culture, the birth of the United States. And make no mistake, it was co-opted, but at the beginning, it was a great experiment and a noble idea. Two books, The Wealth of Nations and The Fall, A Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire in 1776, become a success overnight in the year the United States is founded. The true reason the United States and the American Revolution broke out was because of the printing of money. The British were denying the Americans to stop printing their own money, and then the taxation was a second cause. But at that time, it was also a rising middle class. The Grand Tour is taking place in Europe, which is a copy of what Romans did. Elite Romans, they traveled the empire. So we have all sorts of great things that were going on. The Templars and the Jesuits start to co-opt things. You would know them as the Illuminists. We're reading pamphlets and books and newspaper articles. Beware of the Illuminists. And they had not fully co-opted the Masons yet. So we have the French Revolution in 1789, which had to do with banking. And it also had some hands that pushed it along, the British and some other people behind the scenes, the Masons, and there were other hands in the dirty deal. But the great thing about the United States when it was founded was no taxes. You could own your own land as a sovereign citizen, as a regular person. And for the first time in history, you actually had an even better chance than the Athenian democracy or the Roman democracy. And we go to London in 1780, which is the first metropolis since Rome. So Dr. Johnson says, a man who has grown tired of London has grown tired of life, for London has everything to offer. And we will do a pause right after this one. The French Revolution was communism. It was a murderous excuse. It was an excuse to murder and steal, which is what communism has always been. So we come there, and there was a hidden hand that was involved in it. Cagliostro, as the original Saint Germain, one of my ancestors said, Cagliostro had a hand in it. And there were dark forces in many ways, spiritual and physical. But I want to remind everyone listening now before I finish this part, when a revolution happens, everything stops. Money, food, credit, everything. So just keep that in mind for yourselves.
All right, Fortune, we're going to take a short break here and cut and then come back into part two. Jason, is there anything you want to get in before I put the break in?
Thank you very much, Fortune, for that first segment. And I'm very much looking forward to the rest of it.
All right, well, that is it for the first portion of The World According to Fortune de Saint-Germain. Interesting, to say the least. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back for part two. That will go as long as it needs to go. The first part is always free at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members get access to basically everything, all of the threads, forums, comments. They can create all those things. They could stream the two-hour film that now has 10 awards in the world called Shoot the Moon that covers all my prior telescope work, mostly nighttime and lunar work. That is where the lunar waves were discovered. That is where the second sun that I am chasing now was discovered. Members also get exclusive access to my current solar work. I recently heard that people are ranking me in the top 50 or so solar animators. I've worked a long time at this, and the work is getting better and better, and I now have access to not only my 130, but additionally a 152 solar telescope. So it's about to get better. With that, we're going to take a short break, and I hope to see you all logged in as members for part two. With that, I'd like to wish you a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.